Amen. You guys can be seated. If you're new with us, maybe it's your first time to come, we are in a series called Act Radical, and we're going through the book of Acts, one of my favorite books in all the Bible, and we're seeing how the early Christians, they were madly in love with Jesus Christ, and it overflowed in everything they did. They literally acted radical. So we're looking at them, trying to see how we can also act more radical. Now, before we get started in Acts, and before we get started in the lesson tonight, I want to share with you an illustration, and it's one I stole from one of my favorite preacher dudes, Francis Chan. How many of you guys know Francis Chan? All right, look him up on YouTube, Francis Chan. Amazing, this guy will blow your mind. So anyways, he tells a story, and so I'm going to use his story, but I'm going to put myself in the actual story. So let's say this. Let's say I came up to Travis, and I said, Travis, I've got a present for you. Now, Travis is probably pretty pumped because presents are cool. You know, he's like, it's not my birthday. It's not Christmas. But I was here. Here's you a present. So Travis opens up this gift, and in it is a pair of ice skates. Travis has been wanting ice skates for a long time. He is excited. He gets these ice skates, and he immediately runs out the door because he's so excited he wants to go skating. So he gets in a car, and he goes to Nashville because he wants to try out his new ice skate. So here he is. He's in Nashville. He's skating around, and he does this week after week. He's so pumped. He gets all the moves. You know, he's like, oh. He's like, woo. Does a little move. He's like got the spin, the twirl. He's got the 360, the figure eight, all that stuff. I mean, he is bound and determined to be the best figure ice skater in the world. So, I mean, he practices all the time, and he gets really, really good. Well, I meet up with Travis, and I'm like, Travis, what are you doing? And he said, man, I've been so enjoying these ice skates. I've been taking them, man, to the rink all the time, and I just love them. And I said, Travis, you missed the point. I gave you these ice skates because I'm starting a hockey team, and I wanted you to be on my hockey team. That was the point of me giving you the skates, but you ran out the door, and now you've been living this year of trying to be the best figure skater, and the whole time I'm saying, Travis, I gave them to you so you could be on my team. Well, Francis uses this illustration to say that's sort of what we've done with Christianity, and I want to explain what I mean, is we've sort of treated Christianity or salvation like the first example, like we get this gift of ice skates. And it's like God has given you this great gift of salvation, and you've believed, man, this is all for me. And what I mean by that is it brings forgiveness, which it does, and it brings a relationship with God, which is all true. And you think, man, this is so cool. I've got a relationship with God now. I'm going to live with Him forever, and I'm just going to go live the forgiven life and live it up. This is amazing. I'm saved now. And yes, that is true, but you've missed part of it. Because God didn't just give you that gift of salvation for you, but He gave you that gift of salvation so you could be part of His team, so you could be part of His church, so you could be part of something bigger than you. And that's what I'm going to look at tonight. Man, if you're a Christian in here, maybe some of you have got this thing in your mind where you're like, okay, this is all about me and Jesus, my personal relationship with Him. And yes, it's about that, but it's about so much more. It's not just about you and Jesus, but it's about us and Jesus. Man, you have been called out to be a people, to be a church, to manifest His glory to the nations. We're going to look at Acts chapter 2, and we're going to see how the early church was doing this. If you have your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one underneath your chair. It's page 911. 911. Could be scary. Page 911, Acts chapter 2. If you have that, once we get there, put your finger on it. Stand out of reverence for the Word of God. We are reading the words of God. These words are God-breathed. They're God-inspired. And we hold them to be utterly true. So here we are in verse 42 of chapter 2. Now, can anybody tell me what just happened? What happened last week? The big event. 3,000 people what? Got saved. Big deal. Big church service. Big revival, okay? 3,000 people get saved. Now, that's just happened, and then we pick it up in verse 42. And they, who do you think the they is talking about? The 3,000 just got saved. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. You may be seated. Here we see a church who gets it. They understood that I've been saved, not just for me, but for this whole group of people. That all 3,000 of us would come together, and as a unit, as a church, we would display to the world the glory of God. And I want us to learn from this church, okay? I want us to get some lessons from this first church we see in Acts and how we can be more like them in showing the world who Jesus Christ is. So the first lesson we see, we're going to look at seven things this church was doing and seven things I think we also can do. Number one, they were devoted. In verse 42 it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. Here you have all 3,000 who got saved were what? Devoted. Do you get that? That's important that you see that. If you're a saved person, guess what's naturally going to follow? You're devoted to the things of God. It's not that you muster up this, man, I've got to do this out of duty. It's once you've been saved, you're changed to all of a sudden, man, now you're serious about the things of God. And that's what happened in this church. They became devoted to the things of God, and it lists them out. Number one, it says they devoted themselves to teaching. That's appropriate for where we're at right now. Man, they devoted themselves to teaching. And I hope you guys understand, man, impact service. That this is the main show right here. Not because Corey's speaking, but because the Word of God is being opened. Man, we are looking at the very Word of God. This should be your life source if you're a Christian. That you want to hear whatever it is that would come from God's mouth to you. They devoted themselves to Scripture. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And also, they devoted themselves to fellowship. Not just to teaching, but they devoted themselves to one another. And we're going to talk about that more in a moment. And then thirdly, they devoted themselves to breaking of bread. Now when it says breaking of bread, it means the Lord's Supper. They devoted themselves to the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, hey guys, do this in remembrance of me when he gave the disciples the Lord's Supper. So here's a question for you guys. How many of you in this room are devoted to the Lord's Supper? How many of you guys, when we meet on the first Sunday night of every month, you come and partake in the Lord's Supper and proclaim his death, burial, and resurrection. And if you're not, there's time for repentance. Say, God, I confess I'm wrong in that. I need to start showing up. Because you know what breaking of bread is? It's central to the gospel. What you're saying is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is everything to me. And I want to celebrate that with the believers. And it's also a time of confessing sin. To say, man, I want to set before this table clean. So I want to deal with whatever's between me and God. You should be devoted, if you're a believer, to teaching, to fellowship, to the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. You see, being devoted to prayer shows you're dependent on God. If you're not a person who prays a lot, you're a person who's very independent from God. You don't have to have him. But if you're a person who really believes, man, everything comes from God, and I've got to earnestly seek him in prayer, it shows that you are dependent on God, and that's what these people were. So first, they were devoted to the things of God. And then secondly, they were awestruck. Look what it says in verse 43. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Here's what it's saying. God was moving in the church, and they were seeing it, and they were awestruck by it. As our pastor brother could say, they were wow. They said wow a lot. I mean, they were seeing God actually move in the congregation and they were awestruck. This awe, this word, it means to have this fear, this awesome wonder of wow, God is so big, he can do anything. And we're just going to stand in amazement of him. And I want to tell you guys, God is moving in this building. God is moving among us as his body. We're in the fifth week of Impact Service and we've had 4 people come to Christ. 4 people become believers. That shows you that God is moving. Man, we should be going, wow, that's great. A quick story. Two Wednesday nights ago, after service, one of you guys came to me, and in the prayer room said, man, I need to talk to you. And there's a girl, and she sat down, and the first words out of her mouth were this: I don't believe in God. I'm thinking, okay, buckle the seatbelt. What am I going to say to this? You know, it's like, start one. Okay, where do we go? For an hour and a half, we sat there and we talked about God. We talked about a lot of things. And that girl left as an atheist, goes home. The next morning, I get a call and says, God broke into my life and I became a Christian. Think about that. Atheist to Christian. There's only one thing that explains that. God. There's a God that's so big, man, he can penetrate anyone, and that should cause us to go, he's big, he's great, wow, this awe, this sense of, man, God is moving. Can you guys feel it? Can you can sense that? That's what's happening in this church, and I really believe that's what's happening with us. God is moving, and we just want to praise him for that and just beg him to continue to move, because if he stops, everything's going to stop. It's all about him. So they were awestruck. They saw God doing things. They were devoted. They were awestruck. And then number three, they were together. Listen to what it says starting in verse 44. And all who believed were what? Together. And had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. They were together. They weren't a bunch of I's. They were a bunch of we's. They were saying, hey, this is not me and my individual skating rink, but we're on a team here. We're all together. All the believers were together. It doesn't say that all the believers formed 42 different cliques within the 3,000. No, they were all together. They were all fellowshipping with one another. And they came from all different walks of life. Some were poor, some were rich, some were from the good places, some were from the bad places, but they all came together and they were all had everything in common. So much that if dude didn't have breakfast, you went and sold your iPhone so you could buy him breakfast. Wow, that's pretty big. Y'all, you don't have a car? Well, here, I've got one, take mine. Oh, you wrecked it? That's okay. It's fine, who cares? They had everything in common. They're like, man, I'm in this with you. I love you. And you know one of the biggest things about being together? It's the only way you can show the world who God is. Did you know that? Like, you can't show the world who God is by yourself. You can tell them about God, but you can't show them his characteristics. I want to give you an example. Take forgiveness. God is a God who forgives. How do you do that individually? Corey, I forgive you. Okay, good. That's just weird. It's like, what? You forgave yourself? That's interesting. You can't do it alone. How do you forgive somebody? How do you show forgiveness? It's by forgiving someone else. It's when someone else at school is gossiping about you, running their mouth about you, telling nasty rumors about you, and you going to that person and saying, you know what? I know what you've said about me, but I just want you to know I love you and I forgive you. And I want to pursue a relationship with you. And you know what your friends are going to say? Who does that? You know what you can say? God does. God does that. God did that with me. And you're saying, but you don't know what he did to me. It's unforgivable. No, but I know what you did to God. And guess what? It was a whole lot worse. He had to kill his son for what you did against him. But he pursued you. He loved you. He forgave you. You see, us being a body together, we can show people who God is by the way we love one another. That we don't love superficially, but we love with a love that's unexplainable to the world. And they can say, why do you love that person? Because God loves me. And I'm way worse in God's sight than that person is in my sight. And I love them because he loves me. You see how we can display how God is gracious, how God is compassionate by the way we interact with one another. That's why we have to do this together. Because if we stand alone, we can tell them about Jesus, but we can't show them Jesus. I've had so many of you come up to me and say, you know what, I brought my friends here. They didn't believe in God. They didn't believe in this Christianity thing, but they saw something was different here. They saw you guys interacting together, and they actually saw something about God. And now they're coming back. They want to know more. But we can be better at this. We can get so much better at this, being one where we show people how great God is. So number three, they were together. And then number four, they were joyful. In verse 46 it says, "And day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts." They were happy. They were selling their possessions to give to each other, and they were happy about it. There's only one explanation to this. They really believed, hey, you are more important than me. Your well-being is more important than my well-being. If I'm doing well and you're doing poor, something's wrong here. Man, I want you to be doing well also. They cared about one another, and they were so happy about it. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive, and I think this church really showed that. And then number five, they were worshiping. Verse 47 says they were praising God. Man, this should just be a natural overflow of everything we do. Man, if we're coming here because we're saved and we're devoted to the things of God and we have all things together and we're seeing God move and we're awed by Him, the natural reaction is like, Cody, just play something so we can just sing as loud as we can to God because He is amazing. Wow, did you see what He did last week? Let's get together and sing and praise Him because He is altogether lovely. Man, He is great. Do you see that? Man, that they could see and they were full of worship because that was the natural response to what God was doing. And number six, they were authentic. In verse 47 it says, "And having favor with all people." They had favor not just with the church, but with all people. With the people out, so not just the believers, but the unbelievers, they had favor with them also. And I use the word authentic because this is what I meant. This is what I think it meant. These people were not hypocrites, but they were the same around Christians as they were around non-Christians. In other words, they didn't just love their sister in Christ, but they also loved their brothers and sisters who weren't in Christ. And they tried to show kindness to them. They loved them. Were enough where the outsiders would say, man, look at them. They're good people. We have favor with them. I mean, imagine if I could come to your school and get around all the people who knew you and ask every one of them, hey, she goes to Hardin Baptist Church. What do you think about her? And everyone would say, man, she's kind. She's generous. I mean, she bought my lunch one day. She always cares about me. She's asking questions about my life. She's a great person. Or man, what about that guy? Well, he loves Jesus, which is weird. But other than that, great guy. Is that what people would say at school about you? Is that your reputation? Man, you have favor with everyone. And not that, yes, we're going to be disliked by people, but it shouldn't be because of you. It should be because of them. Because you have tried to show them grace and kindness because that's what God has shown to them. They had favor with all people. They were authentic both in church and out of church. And the last thing, they were growing. They were a growing church. It says this in verse 47, "And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Here you had a church that got together, they were living the gospel, and you know what God did? God used them to show the world His glory, and people were getting saved. Man, that's exciting. And I think that's what's happening right now with us, and I just praise God for that, that we're seeing fruit. And that's what these people were seeing because they were so passionate about the kingdom of Christ, coming together, loving each other, that God was showing the world Jesus through them. Notice it wasn't them who were causing this, but it says the Lord added to their numbers. It was the Lord who did this. It was Jesus who did this. So here you have a church who truly got it. That it's not just, I have this gift of salvation for me and God. Cool, I'm forgiven, I'm going to heaven, awesome. Now I can get on with my life. But they said, I've been given this gift of salvation, and that means I'm part of a family. I'm part of a team. I'm part of a church. So I'm going to give my all to this team. I'm going to give everything I have to this church because I'm going to love all of you guys so that the world can see how great Jesus is. Man, that's what this church was doing. And I don't think we're that far off from it. I don't think we're there yet like they were. I think we've got some work. But I think it should be a goal of ours. And to be this kind of a church who is so passionately in love with one another that the world could see Jesus through us. What I want us to do right now is we're going to have a little invitation time. It's going to be kind of different. Cody's going to come up. He's going to play one more song. Because I almost know for sure that in this room, we've probably got over 100 high schoolers. I guarantee there's someone in this room who has something against someone else. Someone in this room has wronged you. Someone in this room has done something against you. And maybe it's unforgivable in your mind. Well, I'm going to ask you to forgive them. I'm going to ask you to go to that person and settle whatever business you have with that person. Because until we love each other, until we all become one together, the world's not going to see who God is. But when we can come together, and no matter how bad someone treats you, you can say, I forgive you. The world's going to see God. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a moment, and I want you first to pray. And I want you guys, when Cody starts playing, to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you just to pray to God and ask Him to reveal anything that you have against anybody else. And then once He starts singing, that's your time. If you don't have anything going on, just stand up and start singing. But I think a lot of you probably have stuff that needs to be dealt with. I want you to go to that person. You be the bigger one. You go to them, and it might not get fixed tonight, but at least you can start the healing tonight. Say, look, I know we've had this going on, and I just want to say I forgive you, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to restore my relationship with you. I want to pursue a relationship with you because God pursued a relationship with me, even though I sinned against Him way more than you sinned against me. We're going to live out the gospel right now in this room. And if we get it right here, when we go to our schools, when we go to the community, we're going to see God move in an amazing way. Ways.